Heavenly Father, we thank you that we get to come into a place and be a church family and community. How special it has been for me selfishly over the years, and I know so for so many of us in this room. God, the gift that you give in community and in church and in what the church is, when played out right, is one of the greatest gifts. And so we thank you that we can come together this morning. We can hear from your word as Dave teaches out of Ephesians. God, that it would penetrate our hearts and our souls. So Lord, would you just rid us of whatever distractions we may be bringing in this morning? Maybe relational distractions, work distractions, marital distractions, family, whatever that might be, Lord, that we would be able to sit and hear from you this morning. God, that you would speak to us exactly what it is that we need to hear. Speak to us exactly where we are as all of us come in different places. And you are a God that knows each of us, and it blows me away that we can all be here in different places this morning, yet you know how to find each one of us. So we thank you for that. We ask a blessing over Dave this morning as he teaches your word. Would our ears be open? In your name, amen. Ephesians chapter 4. We'll give you a second to turn there in your Bibles. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 through 16.
So this is Ephesians 4, 7 through 16. But to each of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives on his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fulfill the whole universe. It is he who gave some apostle, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors, and some to be teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teachings by the cunning and craftiness of men's in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself upon in love as each part does its work.
Well, good morning. Good to see you all, as always. That was great. Wasn't that good to hear those stories? So good to see God at work and see our high school students challenging us to be all that Jesus invites us into. Well, if you weren't here last week, we started a six-week series that will go until Thanksgiving, where we're looking at our life together in the church. What does it mean to be a part of this body of believers, trying to live with one another, trying to love one another, trying to grow together? What does it mean not just to be a bunch of individuals who are all on our separate spiritual journeys, but what does it mean to be growing in Christ together? And last week I started by talking about the head of this church, which is, of course, Jesus Christ. And we asked the question, what does he think about his church? What are his goals for the church? What does he do for his church? Because we all bring our own, you know, experiences and emotions and expectations to church. But I thought, we want to acknowledge those, but the most important thing is not what do I expect from church or what's my experience, but what does Jesus think? What does he feel about his church? And what are his plans for his church? And so we focused in on really verses 8 through 10, where I talk about how Jesus has won this victory for his people. He descended to earth and then ultimately to the grave, and then he rose. He conquered death. He conquered our spiritual enemies. He is now on a throne in heaven, and he is ruling all things for his church. And from there, he is doing things in his church. He's giving gifts to his church, and his plan is to build his church up into maturity so that when he returns, we are this mature group of people who together reflect Jesus' own maturity. So today what I want to do, having started with the head of the church, Jesus Christ, today I want to focus in on the leaders of the church, as Paul talks about here. Who are these leaders, and what is the role of leaders within Jesus' church? Obviously, he's the leader, but he gives leaders to the church. And what is it, what's their role, and what's their part to play in this body that Jesus is building up? And I'm really going to focus in on really one verse. I'll focus in on verse 11 and 12, and especially verse 12. So we're just going to look at a little snippet of this passage. We're looking at this passage for the next 6 weeks, so I'm just taking little chunks as we go. And we're going to talk about leaders within a church and what their role is. And before I kind of launch in, I want to also acknowledge, as I did last week, that just as many of us have certain emotions about church, certain experiences, certain assumptions, we also have those same things when it comes to church leaders. Okay, if we were just to talk about all of us, our experience of church leaders over the years, I'm sure we'd get a wide variety of experiences, to say the least, right? Some of us have had amazing experiences with leaders of a church. Some of you in this room, I'm sure, when you were in high school, like those students, or even before, there was a leader in the church that played a really significant role in your life, coming alongside you, loving you, discipling you, maybe even, you know, kind of helping you come to faith in Jesus Christ. And so some of us have had really positive experiences of leaders. I think it's safe to say some of us have had not so positive experiences of church leaders. We've had maybe men and women who we looked up to and who were looking to as an example, and then we found out they weren't exactly who they presented themselves as, or they weren't who we thought they were, or at least they were a lot more complicated. Their lives were much more complicated than we had thought. And some of us have gone through churches where leaders have had huge, you know, massive moral failures, or just we've just kind of gotten to see them behind the scenes, and that's created a level of distrust in a church leadership. And I think, put on that too, we're living, really, I think the first age of, well, actually that's not true because this was in the first century too, but I was going to say we're living in an age of the Christian celebrity, which is kind of a new recent phenomenon that technology provides, but that's not true because even in Paul's day, I'm thinking of Corinthians, and there were celebrity pastors even back in the first century. But especially with technology, there's this new thing like a Christian celebrity, right? There's people who are gifted in certain ways, and now we've got technology available, so you can podcast, and you can put your stuff out on the web, you can write books, and you can do all these sorts of pastoral retreats, and so there's these big names that are coming up, and so church leaders have even more of a spotlight today than ever before, I would say. All that to say, there's a lot that we bring to this conversation about church leaders. But I want to ask the question today, what's Jesus' plan for the leaders of a church? What is the role that he has given them? All right? And I'm going to keep it pretty simple today. I've got some great diagrams, some classic Gunlock diagrams for you. I made these myself. You're going to be very impressed. So last week we talked about, just to remind you, in verse 8, look at the end of verse 8. It's talking about how Jesus gave gifts to his church. And those gifts come in two forms. One, verse 7, look at verse 7. To each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. So every single person, one way that Jesus gives gifts is he gives spiritual gifts to every person in church. All of us have certain spiritual gifts that Christ has given us, okay? All of us, that's one of the gifts he gives. But the other form, what I'm going to focus on this morning, is Jesus also gives to the church not just spiritual gifts in every person, but he gives leaders to the church. All right? So look at verse 11. This is where we'll focus today. It was Jesus who gave, and he's going to talk about some leaders, some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. Okay, so I'm suggesting these are spiritually gifted leaders that Christ has given to the church. And there's five or four, depending on if pastor, teacher is one person or two separate people. Okay, disagreement about that. So look at that list in verse 11 for a second. And I'm just going to acknowledge there's a lot of debate today about whether all of these kinds of people are still present today. What Paul means, for instance, when he's talking about the word apostle, is he just referring to those those 12, the original 12 eyewitnesses, plus maybe a few more who were apostles in the early church, and you know, they're no longer apostles today, or is he using that in a different way? Prophets also, there's some debate among Christians. So I just want to acknowledge there's debate about whether all of these kinds of leaders are present today or not. My purpose is not to solve that problem today. I want to talk about what is the role of these leaders. And so verse 12, this is where I want us to focus. This is all you need to hear today. So you've got these leaders. He has given them why? Verse 12, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Okay? So here's what I want you to hear. The only point I'm making is this. God gave leaders. He doesn't say he gave leaders to do the work of ministry. That's not what it says. It says he gave leaders to what? Prepare, or maybe your translation says equip God's people to do the work of ministry. So that's the distinction I want us to all feel. Christ gave leaders to the church not to do the work of ministry, but to prepare the body, the God's people, to do the work of ministry as each one of them uses the spiritual gifts that Jesus has given them so that the body of Christ may build itself up. So look at verse 16. Look at where this thing ends. From him, that's from Jesus, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, it grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Okay? So what Paul's inviting us into is for some churches would be a massive paradigm shift in terms of how they think about the ministry of the church. So here's where my diagram comes in. And this, many of you have heard this before, but it bears repeating. We're talking about a shift from thinking about a church as an organization or an institution to more a church as a living organism, a living body where all the parts are working and building themselves up. Okay? So let me give you my... Great, did this myself. You're going to be really impressed with this. So this is more of an organizational or institutional model of church. This is how a lot of churches throughout the centuries have operated. This is not what Paul is calling us into. But here it is. Jesus Christ, there he is at the top on the cross. He's the head of the church, and he gives leaders to the church, and the purpose of the leaders is to do the work of ministry for the attenders of the church, right? In some small churches, leaders might just be singular. It might be a single pastor leading a country church. But the idea is that the leader's role is to do the work of ministry. They're the ministers. The people are the people. And so the people need to be taught, so the leader teaches. The people need to receive counseling when they're going through a hard time, so the leader counsels. The people need to be visited when they're sick, where they're in the hospital, so the leader does that ministry. The ministry of the church is the ministry of the leaders to the people, all right? And evangelism is about, okay, you people, come and invite your friends to church so that they can hear the minister preach the gospel, right? That's the evangelism under this institutional model. And it's really easy to get caught up in this model of church. I'm just going to say that. It's really easy for the members to get caught up in this, because we talked about this last week. This really plays into a consumeristic picture of church, right? And we live in a consumer age where we're used to looking for products that satisfy us. And so this plays really well into that for members of a church. Say, I'm coming to church. I want the church to minister to my needs. I want good teaching here. I want really good music here. I want good childcare for my kids here. I want a safe place for my family, right? So the church is ministering to me. So it's easy for that for the members to play that out. It's also actually really easy for the leaders to play into this role, because leaders tend to, turns out, have egos, okay? And if you're in church ministry, by definition, you kind of need to be needed. You know, that's why you entered into church ministry. And so it's easy to think, yeah, I am the minister. It's my role to minister, to do the ministry of the church. And when things are happening, that's my role. And I'm paid, right? I mean, you guys aren't paid full-time to do this. You got other jobs. I'm paid full-time to do this. So I need to be the one doing the ministry. And I'll just speak personally, it's very easy to fall into that way of thinking, even if ego isn't a part of it, which it always is, but even if it wasn't, to just kind of fall into, it's my role to minister, it's my role to serve. How can I minister and serve to these people rather than asking the question, as a leader, how can I help these people minister and serve to one another, right? So a very different model. Tempting, but you can really quickly see how limiting this model is when it comes to ministry. I mean, you spend 30 seconds and you realize this model is really limited by several factors. One, it's limited by the giftedness of the leaders, right? Okay, you might have 5, 6, 7, 10, however many leaders, but they only have so many gifts, and so you're going to have these kind of gaping holes in your community if the leaders are the ones doing the ministry. It's limited just by the capacity of the leaders, right? They only have so much time and space, and so it's limited. Ministry tends to get limited in this model to the programs, right? Because leaders create programs, that where there's teaching or there's certain things happening, and so you tend to just think about ministry in terms of what those programs are doing. So, but that's church as an organization. That's leaders doing the work of the ministry. Paul is saying, no, that is not it. He's saying Jesus gave leaders to prepare God's people to do the works of ministry. All right, so here it comes, guys. This is church not as an organization. This is church as an organism. Of course, the metaphor that Paul's running with is church as a body, right? We are the body of Christ. This is Jesus's body, right, that we are. Kind of looks like he has chicken pox, but those are different members of the church, all right? So verse 15, Jesus is the head of the church, it says. In our verse, he says he gave some to be leaders, essentially. So he gave leaders within his church, and the purpose of the leaders is to prepare God's people, right? Did this all myself. Impressive, I know. Prepare all of God's people to do the work, and all the people have all these different spiritual gifts, right? So you all have all these great multicolored spiritual gifts, right? So as the leaders prepare you all to do whatever ministry God has given you according to your spiritual gifts, then the body builds itself up. You got all this ministry as people are trying to love one another, serve one another, encourage one another, spur one another on. You got ministry happening as the body builds itself up. All that to say, the ministry of Grace Fellowship Church is, of course, not the ministry of the leaders. The ministry is your ministry, right? It is your ministry. It's the ministry of the people serving one another. Scott said something, I think it was last week, and I want to give you an example of this, of how we shift our mind in this, or maybe need to at times. It sounded like an offhand comment. It was not. It was a very intentional comment. He said something in the context of music, of worship. He said, remember, you guys are the choir, right? And we've said that before to you. And that is one of these mind shifts, because when you're sitting in a seat and you're all facing the same direction and there's people up here with instruments, you're tempted to think they're the musicians, right? And they're doing the singing, and we are the audience listening to this singing happening. Because every other place you do that in our culture, you're usually watching a movie or you're at a play where you're not engaged. And so that would be very much that organizational model, like here are these people and we're benefiting from their singing, and it's beautiful and receiving that, and there's a truth to that. But what Scott was saying, no, you guys are you're the choir, you're the singers, right? The audience, you're not the audience. God is the audience of our worship. And you all are the choir. You're the musicians, and we're up here to prepare you, to equip you, to help lead you, to facilitate the ministry that you have to offer God through your worship. Okay? So I think that's a good picture of just church in general, what the New Testament is presenting of what church is supposed to be. The leaders prepare God's people so that the body builds itself up. Now let me just acknowledge, this model presents a few challenges, okay? There's a lot of challenges, but it certainly pushes against the consumeristic tendencies of members of a church. It's going to move them out. It also pushes against the ego of the leaders, people who want their ministries to be seen, want them to be, kind of in the spotlight. It gives them more of a supportive role, a preparatory and equipping role. It doesn't mean that they have less work to do. It just means the work is different. But it's the kind of work that if you do it well, you kind of might work yourself out of a job. It's that kind of work, because you're helping prepare other people to do this work. So there are some things, and it's messy, of course. Sometimes this involves having hard conversations with people. But you could see pretty quickly the beauty of it is that ministry under this model is limitless, right? I mean, there's so many gifts just present in this room, and as you guys use those gifts, there's so many opportunities. And ministry that we're talking about here, this is not limited to the programs of grace. You know, this is just people being together in relationship with each other, loving one another, serving one another according to how God has wired them. So it's this beautiful sort of endless ministry opportunity that really leads to building up of the body. All right? So make sense? The sum is this. God has given leaders, their role is to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ is built up. So just to make it personal to each one of us, every single one of us, verse 7 says, has been given certain spiritual gifts by Jesus Christ that he intends for us to use in service to his people. Okay? But all of us, even with those gifts, all of us need, we all need leaders within the church to help prepare us, to help equip us to use those gifts. That's what Paul is getting at. Now, let me ask one more question, and then I want to talk about our church a little bit more specifically as I end. What does it mean to, if you look at verse 12, the role is to prepare God's people, or your translation might say to equip. I want to ask just for a second, what is this preparing? What does Paul have in mind? What is the equipping that he has? That word, prepare, it can mean to prepare, to equip, to instruct. It can mean to supply what is lacking. It's the only time that it shows up in this form in the New Testament. But it seems to me that part of the preparing, it could be like specific skills training on a certain gift. It could be that more narrow form of equipping, like, okay, you're gifted in administration, let's say. Well, let me help equip you on how to use that gift, or you're a gifted teacher, let me come alongside you and kind of teach you about teaching. So it could be, you know, real specific kind of skills training in the different spiritual gifts. That's a piece of it. But my sense is, from this passage, Paul has something much broader in mind than that, much more comprehensive. What I think the preparation that Paul has in mind is more this. The way that the leaders prepare God's people is by basically helping them to understand the gospel in all of its fullness. That's really the preparation that Paul's talking about. To understand all of who God is and who we are and what God has done in Jesus Christ and what God's story is in the world and then how each of us fit within that story. It's more that comprehensive sense that Paul means that's how leaders prepare God's people. Here's why I think that. Take a look at verse 11 again and look at the leaders that are listed there. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastor teachers. Okay, there's something that all of those have in common. And I would say this, they're all very word-based kinds of people. They're all people who communicate the truth of the gospel. Whether you're talking about the apostles who were these foundational eyewitnesses to the teachings of Jesus, to who he was, or prophets who will speak God's truth into particular contexts, into particular communities' lives, or evangelists who, of course, share the gospel with people who haven't heard it, or pastors and teachers who week in, week out, bring the good news, bring the gospel, bring biblical truth to God's people. So to me, they're all people who are primarily truth speakers. They're gospel speakers, presenters, sharers, teachers. So to me, it seems that the fundamental preparation for God's people isn't specific skills training on individual gifts, so that could be part of it, but it's more, remember the story. Remember who God is and who you are and what he's done, and now find your place within his story, within God's people. That's the fundamental work of preparation of the body. And then as people understand that, the gifts emerge as they begin to serve one another and love one another, all right? So I think it's mainly that comprehensive understanding of the gospel, and then some specific training. I think we do a pretty good job of the first as a church here. I think we have a lot of room to grow in with the second, and that's part of what this series is all about. All right, so you all get the picture? You all still with me? Okay, yeah? Probably not new to most of you, but good things to be reminded of. All right, so I want to end the last maybe 5 minutes or so. I just want to talk about our church for a couple minutes. And again, for some of you, this will be review. Some of it, it won't. But I want to talk about the leaders of our church for a moment. Most of you know that we are an elder-led church, that we have a group of men we call elders who are responsible for the oversight of this church. And it's interesting, if you look at the New Testament, there's not a single church model in the New Testament where it has one person running a church, like where there's one leader of a church. Okay, maybe they existed, but there's no examples. Every example that we have in the New Testament is of shared leadership, as a plurality of elders who together oversee the church. So I'm going to just let you know, in case you don't know who our current elders are, I just took a picture off of our website. And here they are. This is Dave Awesome, top left, Dave Awesome, John Drake, Handsome Gunlock, down left, Mark Page, Sean Sheward, Grant Van Cleve. Now, this fit nicely in a rectangular space. We happen to have seven elders, and the seventh happens to be our chairman, so he gets his own slide. Drake Levishev. So these seven guys are currently on our elder board. We have others who have rotated off the board. They're elders at large. Let me just go back to this. Most of you know this. So myself and Mark are the two paid staff elders. And even within the two of us, you know, we share staff leadership. So a lot of churches would have one kind of senior head pastor, and we don't have that here. We've divided that role into our two roles. And that's worked out really well. We love that shared model, and it's worked out with our each of our giftedness and how they fit together. So this is who we are. And I want you to know, we've had a lot of discussion. Should I keep that up or should I take it off? I should ask the guys. Let me keep that one up. We've had a lot of conversation in the last year about how we are leading our church, how we're doing at leading our church. A lot of conversation. We had a book together, and this has been an ongoing conversation. I just want to let you in on some of it. There's two passages that have really, I would say, hit us about what it means to be elders. The first is 1 Peter 5. It says this: to the elders among you, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. And when the chief shepherd, that's Jesus, appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. And what struck us is this metaphor that elders are fundamentally called to be shepherds. And you guys know the metaphor of a shepherd and a flock. But what we've been thinking is, we don't want to be a board of directors, okay, that are just, you know, making strategic decisions or dealing with the finances of the church. We really want to be elders. We want to be shepherds. We want to be people who are loving and caring for the flock. And you just think of what a shepherd does. Shepherds, they know who their sheep are. In this analogy, you're a sheep. It's not a good analogy. But a shepherd knows who his sheep are. The shepherds feed and care, and they protect the flock from harm. They lead the flock. And so we've been thinking a lot about how do we do that? What does that mean for us? The other passage that I'll just say really hit me is Hebrews 13, where it says, it's actually speaking to the members of the church. It says, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. But here's the part. They keep watch, there's a shepherd analogy, they keep watch over you, here's one, as men who must give an account. Now that's a terrifying verse if you're an elder. And we've sat with this, like, we're going to stand before the Lord and give an account for how we have done at doing our best to shepherd this community. And so out of that, there's a goal for us that's emerged in the last year. And I would just sum it up this way. The goal that we've been prayerful about is this: we want every person who calls Grace their home church, okay? We want every person who calls Grace their home church to be shepherded in some way, to have somebody in their lives who is looking out for them, who is checking in, who's mainly just praying, saying, how are you? How is your life? How are your kids? How's your spouse? Whatever. How's your job? How can we be praying for you? What do you need from us? How can we be there for you? That's our goal. We're not there right now. But we would love every person who calls us their home church to have someone here in their lives doing that for them. So you remember at the beginning of this year, you remember how we were updating our directory? Remember we had like 4 weeks in a row where you're going out and give us your contact? That was all spurred on by this desire to know who is at this church. Like, who actually calls this their home church? Who are the people that we give an account for? And what we're doing now is trying to think through how can we then move towards making sure that everyone is just being loved, is being prayed for in some way. So I'm just letting you may already have, or you may be getting calls every once in a while from someone who you haven't met, or someone who you know. Just, and the purpose is just to, it's not to track you or anything. It's just to say, how are you? Like, how can we pray for you? It's as simple as that. Okay? And the other thing that we're, the push that we're trying to make with this is we're really trying to move people towards small group contexts in this church, because we realize that's where real shepherding takes place. When you are part of a group of people where you meet on some regular basis and everybody knows you and everybody knows when you're not there and you are walking through scripture together and you're loving one another, you're praying for one another, you're just doing life together. Small group context, that's where you can really be equipped to use your gifts. And that's really where you can serve with your gifts. I mean, you think of a Sunday, there's only so many people that can play roles on a Sunday morning here. But in those contexts, that's just people being together, whether it's a men's group or a women's group or a home group, a co-ed group. That's just relationships happening. And in relationships, then life just happens. You love and serve each other, and you use your gifts in those ways. So you have noticed probably we're really trying to move towards having people involved in small groups. And the way I look at it, our small groups are kind of our anti-program at our church. Okay, a small group is kind of the anti-program program. It's a program, it's a structure, but the point is just to simply get relationships happening so that life happens because people are living life together. So that's what we're trying to do. And so you've probably noticed, you know, that push. And I just thought I'd give you some stats. We don't usually do stuff like this, but I thought you'd get a sense of where we are as a church right now in terms of people who are involved in various small group context. We've got about 600 adults at this church, ish. These are rough numbers. Right now, we have about 270 that are in some sort of either a home group, a young adult group, some sort of co-ed, midweek, small group where people know each other well context. We have about 150 of you women who would call Grace your home church, and you are involved in some small group context. You are leading the men, but not by much. Men, between our Axios study, our Tuesday morning, a couple other studies, there's about 130 of us men who are involved. So just wanted to give you a sense. And obviously there's overlap in those numbers. Some people are in a home group and in a, you know, an Axios group. And the other thing we're doing in this is we're really trying to help develop our leaders in these groups. So the people who are leading these small groups and facilitating these small groups, we are going to be, and we've started, and it's going to be an ongoing thing over the next couple years, really trying to give them more and actually ask more of them. We're asking them not just to facilitate a conversation every Wednesday morning or every, you know, Friday morning, but to see themselves as kind of shepherds of their small groups, of making sure that people are being loved, make sure the group is working well, checking in with people, but not just in the meeting, but in life. So we're asking more of these leaders, and we want to provide more for them in terms of training and support and prayer, all this. So I just wanted to give you sort of, this is what's been going on. This is part of what's Ryan's role has changed in our home groups. Christina's doing this with the women. Mark's doing this with the men. So that's what we're trying to do. So in a second, what I want to do is I'm actually going to have these different leaders stand up, and we're going to pray for them. That's how we're going to end this part of the service. But I want to just step back from that before we do that and leave you with that idea. This is the role of leaders. It's to prepare God's people for works of service. And so I want to leave each of us with that, with a question, which is this my expectation of the leadership of this church? Is this what I'm expecting the leaders to do? Is my expectation, hey, I come here and your job is to minister to me? Or is my expectation, no, I've come here and your job is to prepare me, is to equip me so that I can do the ministry that God has given me to do? And within that, that there's some questions on our end as leaders for you to be honest and say, how are we doing in that? And it would be good for us to hear from you and say, hey, I need a lot more of this. If you think you're preparing me for ministry, I need to see a lot more of this or a different way of doing this. And then how are you doing on your end? Are you taking advantage of the opportunities that are given to you to grow and develop as a person? So I encourage you just to sit with this question this week. And next week we'll start talking about the gifts of people and how, what those all mean and all of that. So what I'd like to do is I'm just going to have the leaders of the different ministries stand up. And we're gonna just acknowledge you and pray for you. Because this is the start of something a little different for us as a church. And so we want to even kind of commission these leaders. So if you are a leader of a women's small group, so Wednesday morning, Abide, right, or Abide at Night, or Blessing, or any other small group grace ministry, would you mind just standing? And we don't have to do any clapping or anything like that. I'm just going to have you stay standing. So I just want you to see some of these women. Obviously, some people aren't here tonight, but okay, we've got some of our facilitators, teachers of Wednesday morning, facilitators of small groups. Okay, how about the men? If you are an Axios Friday morning or Wednesday morning leader, or if you're a Tuesday morning men's leader or a Thursday morning leader, I see some of you. Have you stand? And then if you are a home group leader slash facilitator, and I know the home group, sometimes it's confusing who is the leader of the home group because it kind of functions together. But if Ryan has talked to you about being a home group facilitator, would you stand, please? I'm looking around to make sure that you're all standing. Okay, so these are people that we're asking much from and that we want to be pouring into for all of your sakes. And so I'm going to have Mark come on up. And he's going to close us off by praying for them. And we're all going to do that together.
And why don't we stand together with these leaders as we pray. So let's bow together and pray. Well, Father, I was sitting there and seeing these leaders that you've given this church stand up, I am filled with gratitude. These are your gifts. These are your gifts to this church. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you know all of us as leaders, I'm sure, recognize our limitations, our weaknesses, our vulnerabilities even. And we all have it within us as leaders to lean on our own strength and to do the work before us for our own purposes. And Lord, I just pray that you would protect us from that. Lord, I pray that you would give these leaders an inclination for your word, that our eyes would be open to the wonder and greatness of who you are and the amazing things that you have for us, for those who have put their trust in you. Lord, I pray for purity. I pray that you would protect our bodies. I pray that you would protect our minds from just so many things out there that can vie to corrupt us. Lord, I pray that we might hold firm to the trustworthy word that we have been taught, and that as we give instructions to others, that it might be sound and true. And Lord, I pray that we might experience joy that can only come from you. A joy that would reveal your life in us, and a joy that transcends the ups and downs of our circumstances. And Lord, as we engage others, may we be gentle. May we love peace. And may we be full of mercy, as you have been merciful to us. Lord, fill us with wisdom and insight. Lord, as we seek to make spiritually discerning decisions, we need your wisdom. And Lord, give us energy. The energy that we need to do this work with excellence. And Lord, may we be swept up by your Spirit to enter into that work, whatever it is, Lord, with passion. So, Lord, would you bless these leaders? We thank you for them, that we might bring glory to your name. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.